Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Gracious, good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of the KRBN Oregon Update with Cliff and Robin.
That reminds me of the cartoon. I don't remember what the name of the cartoon was, but and this was 150 years ago at least. But he always ended the cartoon with "I'm happy," and it. It just always fit funny as hell. Oh. Anyways,
speaking of the program, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to join in.
Wow, right off the bat, she's given the phone number. Just really letting it go, letting everybody have it.
That's right. And I want you to call it, dang it, right now, 646-721-9887. If you missed the program, you can send us emails, talk@krbnradio.com. And the chat room is open right now, too, if you'd like to join us there. We're only going to run the program for about an hour today, so get your phone calls in within that hour, because if you wait for an hour and a half, well, you're going to miss us.
And we'd hate to have you do that.
We would. We have a lot to talk about today, and one thing I wanted to point out, which today, which surprisingly a lot of people don't know about, but we had a historic event happen yesterday.
Really?
It was the anniversary of Normandy, D-Day.
Oh. Okay. And is that more, I don't know how to put this, is that more important than the Triple Crown? I mean, I think that's almost as important. And I don't know what I would put that, because today is the running of the Triple Crown and the third race in the Triple Crown, and that's almost as important as D-Day.
Well, I really don't know how to answer that.
It's lasted longer than D-Day.
The Triple Crown.
Yeah, they were running that before D-Day.
Yes, but how many people died for the Triple Crown?
Hopefully none, because that's not what it's for.
Right.
I saw a thing, what was it, I read an article about how many people in Oregon lost their lives, and it was some huge amount.
Yes.
People that are from Oregon that lost their lives, at least in something. I guess maybe it was that. I'm afraid I was one of the ones that didn't deal, I passed over it. I did. I forgot it.
Well, for those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom, for D-Day, you know, we want to give thanks. And like I say, it's one of those days that in our American history that unlike Cinco de Mayo, gets kind of like brushed over and totally forgotten about.
Well, I think that's because there are many, many days that we need to give thanks for the people that have given their lives to protect our freedom, because we've had a whole lot more of them than just on D-Day or just on that war, but on many wars, and even people who are not supposedly in a war that are still giving their lives.
Absolutely.
For our freedom and do it on a daily basis, because there are still people in the world that are dying for our country right now.
Yes.
And I don't want to forget any of them.
No, and we thank everybody for their service and contributions. And the sad thing about it is, and I brought this up many times on the program, back in old-time radio, what era would you say that would be, Cliff? Like,
you got to give me a hint.
Okay, like you have a bunch of recordings back when radio was old-time radio was a big thing, you know, like...
Well, that was in the 50s, 40s and 50s.
50s. During the war effort in that era, it's not uncommon, especially listening to the old tapes, where the American people were more involved, directly involved in the war effort, and they were asked to contribute directly, like just simple things like save your cooking oil because that could be used, donate metal, which I guess there was actually a huge metal shortage. Women got involved and volunteered in the shipyards and stuff, and, you know, more than what happens today, you know, unless you see something in the news or personally know somebody that's gone overseas, it means nothing to our daily lives anymore.
That's true. And it's unfortunate that people forget so fast. I realize it seems like a long time if you're, especially if you're a younger person.
Right.
But it's still very fast. People forget about what we've contributed and what we've given up in so many people's lives for our way of life, our freedom that we have now. And you just take it for granted, and it shouldn't be.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And I have to keep referring back to this because I was totally shocked when a former coworker of mine, when we were talking about Memorial Day. Memorial Day, what is it? Why should I care? It's like, what? You know, she's like less, just about 30 years old. And you don't know what Memorial Day is?
You know, Americans forget things very fast. I mean, very fast. We don't run around talking about Memorial Day near enough. We should. We should have a lot of things to do about it, and we don't. And we should have a lot more. It should be more like the 4th of July or other holidays where we are really celebrating something.
Exactly. 'Cause
we really don't. We just the only time we even think about it is on Memorial Day. Other than that, nobody even thinks about it. Very little. I say nobody. I mean, of course, that doesn't.
Right. No, I agree. But again, to those people that are serving and that have given, sacrificed, the best sacrifice that they could do for our country and freedom now and in the past, our thanks go out to you.
That's true. And we need to do this more often, at least. Maybe we should start it. You know, maybe we should be the ones who talk about it once in a while.
We should. And speaking of talking, 646-721-9887, as I said, the chat room is open. And again, if you, you know, if you're listening to the program right now and you got stories you'd like to call in as well, if you have relatives that have been on D-Day or any stories you'd like to share, please do so, 646-721-9887. If you're listening to the program on the archives, send us an email. We'll read it on the show. And
And if it's something you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. Whether you're there or not, if you can't be there, just send us an email. We'll talk about whatever the subject is, because somebody's got to know about it.
Exactly.
Somebody's got to be willing to talk about it.
646-721-9887. A couple things on the docket today, in addition to the Triple Crown that Cliff started talking about. We're going to touch on what's been hot in the news this week is Bo Bergdahl and what's going on with that. And if time allows, President Obama and allowing 60,000, I should say, I don't know if allowing is the right term, 60,000 young illegals crossing the borders unattended, with an estimated 130,000 to be next year. And he's claiming that is a crisis and we should, instead of deporting them, take them back. But right now they've been sending a lot of deportees over. Instead of sending them home, they've been sending them over to Tucson, Arizona, which of course isn't making Jan Brewer very happy about.
Well, that's, I don't understand that entirely. We've got 60,000 mostly children coming into the country. Why are we not making place for them? I mean, I understand, you know, we're letting them in and we're leaving them stuck in wherever across the border that they are, And we can't leave them there. We can't leave them there. There's 8,000 people approximately in detention, sort of, basically, is what they are now. It's not technically that because they aren't in detention, but there's no place to put them, and they're stuck in a hole. So that's detention as far as I'm concerned. What are you going to do? And we should be doing something more than we're doing now. And at least we're talking about it now, whether people liking us talk about it or not. The president is saying something about it. I don't know that he's quite doing much of anything yet other than moving him around. And he's not moving him very far. Like you say, Arizona is basically he's moving them to. I don't know.
Yeah, but think about it for a minute. 60,000 children, ranging from age 3 on up, they're supposed to be unattended from their parents. What is it? They're busing them from the schools and going, okay, kids, school's out. We're ahead. Get on the bus. We're taking you to the U.S. That's a hell of a lot of people, not just children. That's a hell of a lot of people. And Obama's claiming, and I don't have the audio for it, but Obama's claiming that, well, we got 95% of the fence done. So they're climbing over this fence?
Well, there's no fence.
I know, there's no fence.
That's ridiculous. And the idea of the children coming in, they're from Central America and not Mexico,
right,
to begin with. Most of them are 14 or so years old. There are a few of them that are really young, but most of them are about 14. But they're not going to school. They're not doing anything except sitting around being bored. I mean, just absolutely bored out of their
minds. I think I just figured it out. I think I figured out why they decided to come here in such droves. Because we don't have Sally Struthers on television anymore asking for money to give to the poor children overseas.
Well, now, I think you're a little mistaken in the fact that they all came over at once. They didn't. This is 60,000 in a year that
right.
are going to be coming over, and many more in longer periods of time. The big point is that the reason they're doing this is because the president has said that he's going to allow it. Before this, a couple of years before this, if you looked at how many people came into this country, basically the same type of thing, there was only about 7,000 or 8,000 of them.
Right.
And now we've got 60,000 in 1 year, and that's the difference. We're making 10 times as many this year, simply because president has actually sat down and said, we're going to, how do I want to say, he didn't say we're going to welcome them. He just said we're not going to be mean to them. We're going to find a place for them. And, of course, if you know you can come into this country and get away with it and be treated with not immunity, but being treated carefully so that you're not being beat up or anything like that, they're, of course, going to come. And they're going to come from everywhere. It's not just Mexico or whatever.
They're claiming that it's like 164 a day on average, if you divide that down. But they're saying that they're coming here without their parents, without guardians.
Well, not all of them are. There are many of them that are coming here. That 60,000 people that are coming here, that's not all children. Because there are a lot of them coming here with their parents. And a lot of them are coming here not with their parents, but with someone else's parents. But the thing is, when they get here, even if they're coming with someone else's parents, they're allowed to go and do whatever they want to do. They're not being they're not being watched and carefully looked after the way they would be if they had their legal guardians with them. They're just more or less let go and to run. The thing is, the president has said that he will take care of them.
Yeah.
And so consequently, as long as he does that, and that he's not going to send them back, he's not going to send them back to the country they're from, as long as he's done that, as long as he's made that kind of statements, there's going to be more and more and more of them coming into this country.
Well, this is according to Reuters. However you pronounce it.
Reuters.
Tens of thousands of children unaccompanied by parents or relatives are flooding across the southern U.S. border illegally, forcing the Obama administration and Congress to grapple with both a humanitarian crisis and a budget dilemma. An estimated 60,000 such children will pour into the United States this year, according to the administration, up from 6,000 in 2011. Washington is now trying to figure out how to pay for their food, housing, transportation once they get taken into custody. The flow is expected to grow. The number of unaccompanied and undocumented immigrants who are under 18 will likely double in 2015 to nearly 130,000 at a cost to U.S. taxpayers of $2 billion, up from $868 million this year, according to the administration.
Okay, first of all, I don't know how much I want to accept that statement because it is according to the administration, quote, close quote. But I do know that there is the problem and that it is monstrous as far as our country is concerned. But again, it's our president who has made it that way. He's the one who's given them, without saying so, but unofficially given them the permission to do this.
Right.
And they're not going to turn it down. They're going to come here. And then it's up to us, or him in this case,
yes,
to figure out how to take care of it.
No, I totally agree with you with the talks of amnesty and what's going on and how they're trying to push for comprehensive immigration reform. Yes, they want to be in on, if they pass it, they want to be here, obviously, or at least, if they say that, because things a lot of times don't go fast, and they're saying if you've been in the country 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, well, they want to be in that qualification so they can qualify or part of the DREAM Act or whatever.
Now, I have my own opinion of why we're doing this, why he's doing this. He's about to leave. He's about to let it be gone, and he's not about to leave it up right in somebody else's hands, and he doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. He can step out of it, supposedly absolutely clean and not worry about it. He's going to leave it in the hands of whoever's going to be following him. And this is the year it should be Republicans following him. It may not be because a lot of things are happening. Things are so up in the air this election period that I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But supposedly it'll be in the hands of the Republicans. Well, if he does this and he leaves all these people here, he's going to make it very hard for the Republicans to actually clean up his mess. And then the Democrats, the next time, can come in and say, well, the Republicans couldn't take care of it. Maybe we can.
Well, here's as I'm looking more into this Reuters article here, it's they're interviewing what they call Suyen Ji, S-U-Y-E-N, who requested that her full name not be punished. She said that she left her native Honduras 2 years ago at age 16, securing $9,000 to pay a smuggler to get her into the United States. She says, I didn't know it was illegal because a lot of people come. I thought it was something that normal people just do, she said through a translator.
There's so many stories, and some of them are probably legitimate. Some of them are not. She's not going to admit to thinking, but knowing it was something that she was doing it wrong. So even if she did realize it was wrong for some reason or other.
Right. Well, it says here that when she struggled to pull herself over a wall at the U.S.-Mexico border, I thought I was going to die after being shoved over by a coyote, plunging down the other side and landing atop a man below. At what point are you kind of going, this might not be right here?
Yeah. You kind of wonder. I understand that that their life was not a cup of tea like it is in this country, but that it was a rough life to live. But you're making it way too hard to get out of it. I just don't know how much I want to believe of any of this. I'm sorry I can't just say it's true and accept it because it's a terrible story and it's really rough, but I just don't know how much of it I want to really believe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just So I can say, what's the big picture here? 646-721-9887 if you have an opinion on this or anything else that we're talking about today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the chat room is open, and we do have a guest in the chat room. Welcome. Like I constantly say, you know, we're not married to just a couple topics that we are suggesting. So if you have any opinion or would like to start something else, you know, give us a call, 646-721-9887. And if you missed the program, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
And, you know, it's not, there's a lot more to this. Like you say, they've got 432 people in Texas that arrived in Nogales on Friday. 367 more expected today and tomorrow. That's a lot of people in there, and somebody has to take care of them. But it's not just feeding them, and or giving them a place to sleep, because they can sleep on the ground or sleep on the floor or whatever. But you've got a lot of other things. There's some of them are going to need medical supplies. There's going to be bunches of things that are going to cost our state, whatever state that they're in, whether it be in Texas or in Arizona, that we're going to have to take care of them. And this is costing us a significant amount of money. There are also medical supplies that they're shipping to Nogales to get to the people. There's just so much to it there. I mean, because, you know, at what, a couple hundred people, 300 people, 400 people a day that we're talking about, just even places to sleep. Right now they're sleeping on what they're calling plastic cots. This is like one of these, like a cot, a bunk, but without a mattress or anything. They're made out of plastic, so they're a little softer than the regular ones, but they're still trying to get mattresses in there. They haven't got mattresses in there for these people, for these children. And so it's so overwhelming that it's really hard to believe and hard to understand that, you know, we are maybe the most wealthy country in the world, but if it's not available, you have to, you know, let's say you have to build it. It takes longer than a day to build a mattress or things for a bed. So, you know, it's taken some time.
Well, again, the same article is commenting that the minors flooding over the border are often teenagers leaving behind poverty or violence in Mexico and other parts of Central America, such as Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, and that they are sometimes seeking to reunite with a parent who is already in the United States, also without documentation. So what it is, it's kind of like, you know, it gets back to the root of the cause. For one, enforce the damn laws. You know, we're just creating this domino effect of problems that...
Well, the thing is, if we're going to spend all this money and all this time, let's fix the problem in their country rather than wait and make them come to this country.
Yeah.
We could put in some businesses and some things for people to have a job and make it possible for them to live at least halfway comfortably in their own country.
We stick our nose into other people's business anyways. I mean, why are we not doing that here?
That's the thing. We do it anyway.
Right.
We're not. This is not something new. And at least this would be doing it with a good, hopefully, benefit as opposed to what we've been doing. We need to do something about this whole problem because it's not slowing down. It's not stopping. It's not even slowing down. It's getting worse and worse, and as time goes along, it's terrible. We've got to do something about it.
Exactly, and they say that the reason that they're not doing it, and I don't buy this for a minute, is, you know, well, the Democrats want the votes. I mean, I don't buy that for a minute.
Well, I don't think it's any party that's doing this. It's a bunch of people. It's just... people that are not paying attention, people that are not doing things that, and for one thing, we're more or less being overwhelmed at this particular point, at this time, because there's just an awful lot of kids that are involved, and it's not just children; it's adults too. And I know that they're worried more about the children, because the adults have a tendency to find a thing to do because they've got a little more experience with life. But the kids, there's nothing they know what to do. They don't know how to do anything. And so consequently, they're just stuck. And we've got to do something with them.
Well, it gets back to the big issue again, the sovereignty of our nation, the security of our nation, which again is the primary job of the president to do. Above anything else, his oath of office is that he is to protect the U.S. and abide by the Constitution and defend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by allowing, I mean, this is almost, when you think about it, it's almost a slap in the face that kids can come across the border. I guess, like you say, why put the fence up? Let's just open the gate and let anybody in. Why not? Let's make it a two-way thing. How about us leave if we want to?
Well, we can, but the thing is, it's not. There's no gate. There's no fence. It's a bunch of malarkey, that whole idea of building a fence across the bottom part of our country. It's not happening. It's not even close. We're putting up we've got people there, and we've got people looking and watching and paying attention to what's going on, but not enough to be considered a fence. And, you know, we may have a person every mile,
right.
And there's a lot of space in between in that mile that people can come in and get away with it and not get caught. So, and I understand that it's, again, if we can't spend that much money building that kind of a security across the bottom part of our country, and it's got to be done by some other method. It's got to be some other way of controlling it, because we don't have that problem at the top part of the country. So if there's a difference between one end of the country and the other end of the country, what is that difference?
Yeah.
And the difference is the fact that the country that's down there, Mexico, is so poor, and there's got to be something done about that.
Well, it's corrupt, but we'll just change out our border patrol guards for crossing guards, have the little flags and everything, you know, just to make sure that that no child abuse is going on and et cetera.
That wouldn't stop child abuse.
No,
that's sad, because it is really sad about having people. That there's, you know, and the border guards down there have got to feel, I don't know what I would feel if I had that case, because you're being yelled at, you're being blamed for things, and there's nothing you can do in most instances. I mean, you can stop maybe 10 out of the 600 or so or 500 or so that are coming across every day, and that isn't going to accomplish anything, because all the others are going to get away with it. And what do you do? You know, you got to think of them. These border guards down there. What is going to be their attitude? You know, they're seeing hungry, skinny little kids coming across, trying their best to get to a place that's going to at least they don't get beaten on. I mean, you know, people don't go around. I don't think, at least I don't know of any. People go around beating up kids that are that young, but in Mexico they do, you know.
Yeah.
If they don't do that, they put them in servitude. They make them work for them and give them the money. It's just a very bad situation, but we're not going to do anything about it or fix it by just trying to catch them and put them in jail.
No, I agree. It's the consequences of a bigger issue. 646-721-9887. We got a short program today. We got 30 minutes remaining in the program. Still time for your phone calls. And again, you can join us in the chat room. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio, if you're a guest in the chat room, doesn't allow you to comment, which is what he said. I wish they will change that. They are making some really good changes, but 646-721-9887. With 30 minutes remaining, I want to kind of switch gears to the second topic that we wanted to talk about, and it's been kind of a hot item in the news the last couple of days, and a lot of stuff is really starting to come out on this issue, and that's Army Sergeant Bo Berdahl, and his exchange for five Taliban terrorists that that Obama decided to do without even consulting Congress, which is opening up a whole can of worms in itself, and stating that, and I don't have the quote in front of me, I'm going by my feeble little memory, that there wasn't enough time to notify Congress, then go through the required 30 days as required by law to make this negotiation and trade because of Berdahl's health and the threat that he would be killed if news of this came out.
I think that's the problem, is the fact that they would kill him. I don't think his health is that bad, to be honest with you. They've checked him out and have said that he wasn't that bad off. But the fact is, if we didn't accept him in trade for these four or five people, they were going to do something to him. Now, I understand that the United States is not supposed to negotiate with terrorists and is not supposed to go to do this kind of thing, but I'm not sure I could say no.
Well, okay. Here's where you and I disagree on this. Like the president was saying, is that, quote unquote, no man left behind. Well, I'm still doing a lot of research and trying to answer the question of why Berdahl for five Taliban terrorists, especially for top-ranking terrorists. And of course, I have the names of them before me, and none of them are Smith. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names because I know I cannot do it right. But, there's a Muhammad, I can do that one. But they are believed to be the top five Taliban leaders that were at the prison, were selected in 2012 by the Taliban leaders as part of the initial negotiations previously, which Congress rejected in 2012. Twice for their release. One of the terrorists has already, in his statements, vowed to get back at the U.S. and killing with intent to killing Americans.
Well, that's something I want to say something about, because of course he's going to give some sort of a statement like that. Of course he's going to say I'm going to be mean and nasty and beat you up and all that sort of thing. I mean, why wouldn't he? He's safe at the moment.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's going to be safe forever, because we're going to know what's going on, and we're going to be able to find him. We did it once. We can do it again. The thing is, I don't believe for a minute, that he was being quiet while he was in jail. I mean, he was giving information to the Taliban even while he was in being held in, I don't know what you want to call it. He wasn't being held, I don't believe, in incommunicado or anything like that. They try, but there's you can always get stuff out. And so he was leading and carrying on even while he was there. To let him out, he could perhaps do things a little easier and a little better, but not that much. And he's not going to be able to go out and do anything himself. First of all, he's pretty old by now. And second of all, we know who he is and how to get a hold of him and can get him back. The thing is, I don't think he can do as much as he thinks he can. But of course he's going to make the statement and the accusations of all the terrible things that he's going to do. That was just standard procedure, I would think.
Yeah. Well, of course, according to Fox News, as they're calling these guys, the Gitmo 5, the Joint Task Force, the Taliban classified all five as high risk to the U.S. Two of the five men are wanted by the United Nations on war crimes for the deaths of thousands of Saudi Muslims in Afghanistan. The Taliban has long pushed for the release of the men who have been called the Gitmo 5, a group of experienced jihadists who helped run the terror organization operations in the pre-9/11 Afghanistan.
Well, one thing, I hate to say this, but Why are we the ones that are that have to hold him and pay for him and put him up and all that sort of thing? Why are we the ones that have to run that particular organization for keeping him in place? Why aren't we being held? You know, these thousands of people that he killed were not Americans even.
Right. Well, and to get more close to home is the exchange that Obama did. You know, for one, not telling. I had the link yesterday, and of course I lost it. That the War Powers Act specifies that these types of deals, Congress must be notified within 30 days. Now here, in my research, this is on the White House website, and it's just a couple paragraphs here. Trying to get the date on this thing. December 26, 2013, it says he's signed into law H.R. 3304, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2014, and which authorizes them. Can we skip down and read a quote from him? It says, for the past several years, the Congress has enacted unwarranted and burdensome restrictions that have impeded my ability to transfer detainees from Gitmo. I'm just going to short, long day. Earlier this year, I called again upon the Congress to lift these restrictions, and in this bill, the Congress has taken a positive step in that direction. Section 1035 of this act gives the administration additional flexibility to transfer detainees abroad by easing rigid restrictions that have hindered negotiations with foreign countries and interfered with executive branch determinations on how and where to transfer detainees. Section 1035 does not, however, eliminate all the unwarranted limitations on foreign transfers, and in some circumstances would violate Constitution separation of powers and principles. The executive branch must have the flexibility, among other things, to act swiftly in conducting negotiations with foreign countries regarding the circumstances of the detainees' transfers. And again, you can read this for yourself on the White House website, H.R. 3304. It's about a page and a half long, but it goes into, again, easing actually giving the president a little bit more leeway to do what he wants to do.
That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants more permission to do anything he wants to. And I right now, I don't think that's the thing we should do. I don't think we should be giving him more leeway. We should be tightening up the leeway.
Right.
We should be making it more difficult for him to do things like this, because he's leaving. He's going to leave it in somebody else's hands. He doesn't give a damn about what happens. He doesn't give a damn about getting people out of there. He just, you know, wants to make it easy for him to look good in a few people's eyes. And it's not that many people that are even thinking he's looked good at what he's doing. He's doing it wrong. He's doing it bad. There was a reason all these restrictions and regulations were put in there. They weren't put in there overnight. They were put in there because people were trying things and getting away with them. And now he's doing it regardless of what's done. It's his same old trip. I'm going to do it to hell with you.
Well, and on that same line, I'm going to play cut four. This is the NBC with Brian Williams interview with Obama as he's trying to explain this.
On the subject of Bo Bergdahl, there is real confusion, and we're hoping you can clear up this one point that arose last night and today. What was the reason for not informing the eight members of Congress who would customarily be informed by this?
Brian, I have to tell you the same thing that I've been saying for the last several days, which is we have a rule, a principle, that when somebody wears our country's uniform and they're in a war theater and they're captured, we're going to do everything we can to bring them home. And we saw an opportunity and we took it. And I make no apologies for it. It was a unanimous decision among my principals in my government.
And, of course, the Twitters and everything else is going crazy by going, okay, well, what about my kids, you know, et cetera. But I don't know. His excuse is kind of lame.
Well, excuse, that's all he has is lame. I mean, he doesn't have anything legitimate. He just wants to make it easier for him to do things, anything he wants to do. And it doesn't make any difference what he wants to do. If he thinks it's right, it's right. Okay. And that's just all there is to it. He doesn't, you know, he says with his people, and he consults with his I don't want to say constituents, just his people, his people that have put him in the office that he wants to be in. He only discusses it with people who agree with him. And that's I don't believe that's legitimate. You've got to discuss it with everybody. And he doesn't. He just wants to do it now, and I'll ask the people who agree with me if I should do it, and then they'll, of course, going to agree with him, and so he can do it.
And, well, even his advisors suggest that he not do this. But here's the thing, is that with what's coming out with Bergdahl's, how he got involved with the Taliban, is still coming out of the woodwork. In fact, the fellow soldiers that were with him are calling him a deserter, a traitor, and, you know, basically not the type of, I'm not going to say hero, but not the type of person that Obama, you know, getting up on the stage with Bergdahl's parents, who, I don't have the audio, who spoke in Arabic, briefly before welcoming his son home, which I don't know if that means anything or not, except, again, how many people in the U.S. speak Arabic. But it's just, there's a lot going on, and it even is more suspicious when you hear representatives like Deputy Spokesperson for the State Department, Maria Hoff, make these comments. I mean, listen to this. This is cut two.
Does the State Department consider Sergeant Bergdahl to be a deserter?
The State Department, no, Lucas. Look, what we've said is we are going to learn the facts about what happened here. We said very clearly in a statement from the Secretary on Saturday that Sergeant Bergdahl was a member of the United States military who volunteered to serve his country. We don't know the facts about what happened yet on that day.
According to those remnants, the two mates, his squadmates, company mates, they said he walked off.
Some of them, there are conflicting reports out there about this. Look,
are there?
There are. Go Google it on the web, and you'll find a ton of conflicting reports. The fact is, we're still establishing a fact pattern about what happened, how he ended up in Taliban captivity. So when he is able to share those, as Chairman Dempsey said today, he will. He also said, like any American, he is innocent until proven guilty. Our Army's leaders will not look away from misconduct if it occurred. In the meantime, we will continue to care for him and his family. So I think people need to be really careful about believing every second or third hand report out there. And also what the president, what the secretary, what Chairman Dempsey have said, regardless of how he went missing, it is our responsibility to him to bring him home, period.
So when you say second, third hand reports, when his squad mates who served with him overseas said he walked off the
path. Lucas, I'm sure some of them. And look, there's a lot of rumor and telephone game that's being played here about what happened. Not all...
The guys on national television last night, his squad mates, the two mates, were not correct.
I'm saying we don't know the fact pattern yet here. We don't. Nobody knows exactly what happened that night. As the facts emerge, as he's able to discuss them with the Department of Defense, we will see where that takes
going
us. It happened 5 years ago. This is a situation.
She's had all this time, 5 years, to determine whether he was a deserter
he's
or not.
He's been
a
in
long
captivity,
time.
Lucas. I think he's probably the person who knows best what happened on that night.
Well, I think that his squad mates have the best indication.
I don't think
that
that's the case.
Well, the first thing is he's been in captivity. Why are we just deciding he just walked out and deserted? I mean, my opinion or my answer to captivity is you're not being allowed to do what you want to do. You're being told what to do.
Well, it gets back to the question as well. Why is he worth five Taliban leaders?
You can look at that in two ways. First of all, he's worth as many as it takes. In this case, we could give them five or more, and they could only give us one, him. So consequently, if whatever they ask for, that's what we give them. But the thing is, I don't think that's that big a deal, personally.
Well, if this is the way that Obama negotiates, then I want to play poker with him, because I think that our hand was pretty. We had a pretty strong hand. They didn't. I mean, who is? And this is something that's going to come out too. Who is Bergdahl? You know, why him? Why not somebody else?
It doesn't make any difference who he is. They put him up as collateral. We have to match it or let him go. We have to either match what they want or kill him, which is what we're doing. And so consequently, we decided not to kill him or let him die.
So is this going to start like what happened, I believe, in the Carter administration, where we had all these beheadings going on? We now become captive from other countries because we're willing to negotiate a five-for-one deal?
We have no idea of possibly even an inkling of knowing the answer to that question, because we don't know who's going to be president. We don't know who's going to be making the rules. We don't know who's going to be making the decisions. And it's a totally different story. See, our government doesn't work the way other governments do. We don't have the stability of putting a ruler in, a king or a queen or a prime minister or whoever, and leaving him there for 50 years until he dies or whatever. We don't do that. We have a different group making the rules every 4 years. And sometimes it's every 8 years, but it's basically every 4 years. And consequently, things are going to change. And we don't know what's going to happen in a couple of years, because that's all we got left of this for. So that's why Obama can do anything he wants to do, because he can just let go of it and say, to hell with it. I'm going to wash my hands of it and be out from underneath of it. We're not, you know, have you ever heard of a president doing something really bad and then getting out and having some sort of a jury to look forward to, or some sort of restitution that he has to do? No, he gets out of the gets away from the office, and he's scot-free.
Yes. Well, that's supposed to be why we have the different houses, is that it's supposed to be a check and balance thing. That's, you know, that's the whole point of the Constitution, is that it's supposed to limit what the president can do, so we don't have a monarchy type of thing.
Then why are these people who are supposed to have the responsibility of making the decisions letting him do it? Why are we letting him get away with it?
That's a good point. What happened? I mean, we hear this all the time, that he's breaking the Constitution, but yet we go ahead and we follow it blindly anyways. I mean, if it's not legal, you know, why is...
We're like lemmings. We're being led around by the leash or something, and we're not doing a damn thing about it. And that's what the problem is. We are absolutely... We don't do anything about it, about anything. We just let it go and yell and scream and holler, maybe in part of it, and in little programs like this where we say something about it, but nobody does anything about it, especially nobody of any kind of consequence does anything about it. We have a vice president that could be doing something. We have other people in other branches of Congress or the Senate who are very high officials who just sit there and take it. They aren't even online or on television saying anything about it. They aren't even online and on television disagreeing with the idiot who's doing this, who is our president.
Well, and they're saying that now Lindsey Graham and others are coming out once again saying that this is an impeachable offense, et cetera, which at this point in time, I kind of agree with the commentary. People writing the comments on these articles are going, you know, put up or shut up. You know, you guys are using this as an excuse to come out and get into the limelight, is that there's been several senators that have been threatening impeachment or whatever. It's like, put up or shut up.
Yeah.
Either follow the articles of impeachment and get the process started, or just shut up.
Well, that's it. They can sit there and yell about it, and they can and make noise about it, but until they do something about it, it means virtually nothing. And nobody's willing to do anything about it. I mean, any one of these people could start the article of impeachment, or they could start impeaching him, or whatever they want to do, whatever it takes to, they could, any one of them do it. And if they had any any kind of following at all, they could have several, many people doing it. And if there isn't enough people that are worried about it, if there isn't enough people that are upset about this whole thing, then we couldn't do it anyway. So maybe we just do what we are doing. Maybe we're doing the right thing.
Well, I think some people are starting to wake up because there's a follow-up article on from Susan Rice who came out a couple days earlier mentioning that what we did is a good thing about bird law is honorable or whatever. Now she's coming out and saying kind of apologetic, saying that she was not willing to, well, she said she didn't willfully mislead Americans. She just said the information that she was given to portray was wrong, and that she says, I'm quoting, this is from CNN, parts of it turned out to be wrong. She says, I regret the information I was provided was wrong that I delivered to the American people. That doesn't make me a liar. That just makes me a public servant trying to say what I knew at the time, which I agree with her on that.
I don't. I disagree entirely, because then you can say anything you damn well want to and say, oh, well, I wasn't informed.
Right.
And that's not true. If you don't know, shut your goddamn mouth.
Yeah. Or, as Maria Harf says, just Google it. I mean, apparently the president gets his information from the 5 o'clock news. You know, so much of the daily briefing that he doesn't show up to half the time.
Well, unfortunately, we're supposed to be getting our news from the president, not the president getting the news from the networks.
Exactly.
That's what's going wrong here. But I just, we've got to do something about this. We've got to start standing up on our own hind feet, so to speak, and yelling and screaming and changing the way things are done, because as it is, we're just sitting back and letting things happen, just letting any old thing happen. And it's, boy, there's got to be a bunch of people out there that would like to do something. And if there isn't, then we need to know about that, too. So let's have someone get on the horn and poll people and find out who's up for making the president stand up for himself, making the president answer to the things that he's done. And if there isn't enough people to do that, then get off of it, because once we find out there isn't enough people to do that, then we're on the wrong side.
Well, and you make a good point. It'd be one thing if we learned from all this. I mean, even going back to the birther issue, which should never have been an issue, because we should know that the person that we're electing, there should be no question whether or not they're qualified to begin with. That should not even have been an issue from there. Are we going to, in the 2016 elections, learn from that? Probably not. Are we just going to go through the same, like you're saying, nothing's changed. We just kind of willy-nilly let them do what they want to do, and I think that based on, like, the turnout of the primaries here in Oregon, I think people have just given up. They just don't care.
That's it. They don't care. It's too much work to care. And if we've got to work at it, then we don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, like I jokingly say, that I know people that they're not into politics. They don't even know who the vice president is at the time.
I've watched so many of these things on television, the late night shows where they ask you, who so-and-so, or show you pictures of him. And people don't know.
Yeah.
People just don't know.
They don't know or they don't care, but yet they can tell you, you know, I know people that you can pick a football team and they can tell you the stats going back 10 years.
Oh, yes.
But they don't know who the vice president is.
Right.
And they say, you know, like I say, why should I care? Well, because if you don't care, I mean, usually in the past, is whatever goes on doesn't affect us personally. But this is changing. We got a changing climate here, and a lot of it is affecting our freedoms that we take so much for granted. Even this program is under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that allows us to do this, that allows you, the listener right now, to call us in the last 6 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887. See, I slipped that in.
Right, good.
Express your opinion under the First Amendment to share what you think about this, for or against, as part of our freedoms that we have over other countries, and we're losing it.
That's true, and I would really like to know what other people think about what we're talking about, because I can't be so totally in opposition to what everybody else is thinking, I don't believe. I mean, I didn't think I was that way, but maybe I am. Maybe I just don't think the way other people think. And if that's the case, I'd like to know that, and I'd like to hear what other people are thinking, so at least we could have a conversation about it.
Or maybe we're just, maybe we should just join the masses and go, well, you know, Cliff, there was some articles in the news today. I didn't really pay that much attention to it. But, you know, I understand that Kim Kardashian is getting married. Maybe we should talk about that for a while.
Excuse me. That's what I think of Kim Kardashian getting married. As far as I'm concerned, I understand what you're saying. Boy, I would be in real trouble if I had to sit here and talk about Kim Kardashian for any length of time.
Exactly. Now, what I'm going to do real quick here, we got 4 minutes remaining in the program. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phones and take a phone call from area code 901. Welcome to the program.
Hi, are you talking to me?
We are. Welcome to the show.
Oh, great. I used to listen to Blog Talk a long time ago, but now I've just listened to Alex Jones. he's got verifiable information that he shows up on the screen and the sources and everything. This has all been orchestrated, probably started in 1913. I was the Memphis, Tennessee district director for the fair tax 12 years ago, and I started learning stuff that really opened my eyes. You know, the Federal Reserve and the bankers and the chamber, National Chamber of Commerce and other crony capitalists like GE, they are all intertwined in this. It's very hard to just go for the politicians. It's the infrastructure that's behind all this, and the infrastructure that they have laid in our bureaucracies through the Affordable Care Act. If you can understand what he has done, he has created a workforce that will never, never stop, because they're all paid out of taxpayer money, all of these departments, and there are hundreds of new ones. Every one of those people is a Democrat voter, some kind of a union voter. They will never vote themselves out of office. What he's already done, aside from immigration and voter fraud, is created a guaranteed block of voters for progressives.
Why, in
and
addition
I don't
to that,
know the,
I was just going to say, in addition to that, having the Obamacare and making it a mandate that you purchase a commercial product has opened the door for our presidents for other. He can say, you know, everybody has to own a Prius next year, too, and if you don't, you're going to pay a fine.
Well, I just keep thinking a good place to start. I mean, you can't just sit down and say, well, what do I do? I'm retired. I'm living on $745 a month. $745 a month. I don't have a house note. I don't have a car note. I owe about $2,000 back taxes to the IRS, which I don't even like to even name them. But here's an idea. I think we need to start recall petitions. I want to recall Senator Alexander in Tennessee. It's a little bit of a complicated process, but I think if we can start actually recalling some of these people, it'll show them that we're not stupid, that we are awake, and that we have other methods. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw my 2 cents worth in.
Have you started any paperwork? Have you started any paperwork or anything to get that recall going?
No, I got diverted doing something else. I get all of my news online. I don't turn the TV on anymore. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's trash. I send in petitions. I used to give money for conservative candidates, but I can't afford to do that now. I mean, just And this summer is going to, you know, FACTA is going to take hold on July 1st. You know about that?
Yes.
FACTA being part of the great Dodd-Frank bill that they all rushed back to sign, which made it screwed up banking even worse because it made it harder for honest businesses to lend money. But all this money that was in the stimulus package, this trillions of dollars in the stimulus package that he laughed about and said, well, I guess it wasn't so shovel-ready, all that money went overseas. It went to bail out the European banks. It didn't go here.
No.
We've got to stop this.
Not unless you want to do a study on the migration of snails.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I remember reading about it. It went to Deutsche Bank, and it went to that bank with the several acronyms. I can't remember something SCB Bank and several others, and it did not go to America. It went into the hands of the international bankers.
Mm-hmm. And what did we as American people do about that?
Nothing.
Let it go.
I take exception with we as the American people. We did something. Our legislators did nothing. They are paid off by the Chamber of Commerce, all these international elements, the UN. You know what UNESCO is involved in, Common Core? You know what its motto is, UNESCO's? Our children belong to, your children belong to us.
Oh, God.
Some such thing.
Well,
the only thing
is someone has to start this thing. Someone has to start at something. And everybody's sitting on their dead butt doing nothing. And
wait. Don't say everybody. That's what we're making a mistake. I do a little something with my limited means. So I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to give information, and I'm trying to sign petitions. That's about my limit. I had to stop this district director because I had two hip operations.
Mm-hmm. See, that's basically what
I'm
doing
as much as I can.
With this radio show, is we're trying to get some information out there and perhaps get some help and some assistance in doing something. But there's nothing like you as a human, as one person, or we as two people, there's nothing we can do. We've got to get some help from a lot of people who want to become a part of this. And if they want to become a part of this country, they need to become a part of this.
Well, what do you suggest? The Tea Party is the best place for activism because you can have, and meetups, you can go to meetups in your local community. I've done that before. Just go to meetup.com and start a group and start issues that you want to strike at. Like if you want to do a recall petition, get together some people in a meetup group face to face so that you know each other. That's one place to start. I'm in the armpit of Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. And we've got Republican senator, a state senator here that just stabbed us in the back by lying to people's faces about not supporting Common Core and putting the Affordable Care Act in Tennessee. Just told a bald-faced lie, and he's a Republican.
Well,
if we know things like that, we can go to meetups and we can go together to the state capitals and do something about it. I'm just saying a meetup is a way to meet people and talk to them one-on-one.
That's the problem with the system nowadays is that they can promise whatever they want to promise, knowing that once they get in, it takes an act of God to get them out because, there's nothing holding them to the fire.
Recall can be done. Recall can be done. If you get enough meetups going in different towns and you get enough signatures, recall can be put in order. They just recalled two people in Colorado last summer.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's
what needs to be done.
It's a process that you have to go. Hmm?
People need to get involved. And when they do something that they don't promise is, I mean, the most we can do right now is, you know, phone calls, letters, and try to remember, keep names, and just, well, like in Oregon here, and we just had a primary.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching that.
You didn't need to be an expert to know who was going to win. It's just, who's running? Okay, fine. They didn't do their research. They didn't do anything about that. You know, they just, it's like, why bother? And that's what a lot of people are doing now, just why bother? They don't think it makes a difference. But
it does make a difference. Why bother now matters more now than ever. It matters.
Right.
It's critical now to bother.
Right. Precisely. Well, very good.
So
well,
anyway,
thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for being there. Are you on every Saturday night? Or?
That's correct.
Every Saturday, 4 o'clock Pacific time. So,
okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Give us back. We appreciate it.
We'll catch you later. Thank you for having the format to talk
to. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's interesting that we got somebody that's at least interested enough in what's going on. We need a few more of those.
Exactly. And she's got a good point. You know, people just need to get involved. We ran a little bit over, but for the phone call, that's okay. Again, we'd like to encourage people and thank everybody that's been in the chat room today. Several guests, Obama 2016, thank you for being in there. We're sorry we had to cut the show short today. We have previous engagements. We'll be back next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Cards and letters, welcome. Join us then.
Have a good day.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.